Drew McIntyre here from WWE. Wielding the Claymore can be a life of chaos. When I'm not dominating in the ring, Chumba Casino is how this warrior takes a wee break. With hundreds of online social games and new weekly releases, there's always something fresh to try. And those daily boosts, next level. Even my free time feels like Valhalla. So when life feels like a battle, kick up your feet, have some fun, and let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Second hour here, Friday edition. Robbie and Rex are 102.5, 106.3 the game. Paul Kuharski in for Robbie. Nick Keyser producing. And normally this time of week, it's 7 o'clock on Friday, we have Jared Stillman, but he didn't even tell me. I mean, he had to tell Robbie to text me that he's not doing the show. I think he's afraid maybe of you and me.
Texted Robbie to text you?
Yeah. He texted Robbie to text me. Wouldn't even tell me in person. Yeah. We didn't know.
Chicken noises?
Yeah. I don't know what's going on with Stilly. So we have a lot. We have a lot going on. I mean, first of all, we have a lot on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHoney.com, 615-737-1025. A lot of people mad about your take about what people are wearing. You know, the devil number. Here says, using your logic, you must be a tailor to wear clothes.
That makes no sense.
Also,
these people who are texting are doing so wearing a jersey of another man, dressed up like it's Halloween, wearing probably a jersey of a guy who's no longer on the team, probably in a Derrick Henry jersey, maybe a Eddie George jersey, because they don't have the finances to update the costume that they're wearing.
Okay, so I have a
jersey wearing is absolutely ridiculous.
I have a take. No, it's not that Robbie didn't remind Jared, Ethan. No. Jared knew. He backed out. Herb from McEwen says if he's drunk and hungover, he'll wear a My Little Pony t-shirt.
Yeah, well, that's not the point. If you're doing a walk of shame, I don't care what you're wearing.
Okay, that's good. Good to know that you're fine. Walk of shame is that's all things are on the table for the walk of shame. I do have a take about jerseys. I've probably said it before because I've probably said everything at some point on here before. I don't really have that many new thoughts. But I do think, like, if I'm going to – at some point, I'm going to get – a Detroit Tigers actual jersey. But I'm not going to get it of, you know, like one of these kids now. I'm like, to me, you shouldn't be wearing a jersey of someone like decades younger than you. Does that make sense? Like, so if I get a Detroit Tigers jersey, I'm going to get one of like Jack Morris, Alan Trammell,
Kurt Gibson,
Lou Whitaker,
yeah,
Chet Lemon.
Look,
what do you think about that?
I don't think you should get one, period. Or if you get one, it should be blank or Rex Road. Look, a jersey is for a kid who is pretending to be that player in his backyard.
Okay.
And then you grow up.
But see, okay.
Then you grow up.
But if you are an older, I think that you should at least do it your generation of that, right?
Sure.
No?
This is just like
it's retro, man. It's cool. It's retro.
It's like the Bobby Knight thing where he said, like, you know, you learn to write in fifth grade and then you move on. This is like with rooting for college football. You go to college and you're into college football and then you graduate and you go root for the NFL as your main thing. Better football, yeah. Like professionals.
Yeah. I like college football. Henry says, I'm a recent Titans fan. I'm also a Derrick Henry fan. Would it be bad if I wanted to have both of his jerseys? Since he's now in Baltimore.
Oh, absolutely.
This is going to trigger you.
You cannot be a Titan. I mean, this is going to start the whole thing again. If you wear a Derrick Henry Baltimore jersey, you're not really a Titans fan.
Okay, Brian Summers, who I think is going to be – I'm really excited about Brian Summers' contribution. I think he's going to be a really good contributor here to the text line moving forward. Perhaps is an alter ego. But Brian Summers – says, no man looks good in a football jersey. If you want to wear one, that's fine, but you just need to know you don't look good in it. Huh, that's interesting.
Well, that's a very good point.
You're not taking different body types into account here?
No. We see a lot of fat guys in jerseys.
Okay, but what if you're cut up and you look like a football player?
This guy knows what the American population is, and that 7 out of 10 guys are fat.
Yeah,
you've worked hard to thin down, but most of America is not working hard to thin down. Most of America is eating a big thing of wings before they go to the game.
By the way, Predemption on the YouTube chat said, I understand, Paul, it's known that Jack Nicholson, while filming The Departed, which was set in Boston, while in character, refused to ever wear a Celtics or Red Sox hat. Wow, good for you, Jack. Yeah, well, of course he's not wearing a Celtics No way. He's playing basically.
Yeah, but he's the greatest actor of our time.
Right. So he's a boomer like you, and he agrees with you. Okay, we need to rip some Stillman takes.
Me and Jack Nicholson are of the same era. I mean, that makes sense. Yeah, he's in his 80s. I'm in my 50s.
We're, you know, it's
same thing.
Splitting hairs here, PK.
How come there's no tweet out about this segment for me to retweet, Nick? I'd like to call attention for people to come join us.
Speaking of cranky boomers. Okay, what? Actually, I do have a request, Nick. So what do we have from Stilly? We got something from Stilly? Let's hear some Stilly. If we can't have him live, let's hear his beautiful voice.
Now, I think there's a fine line to all of this because I think Brian Callahan wants to empower Will Levis with kind of that old adage, son, I believe in you. He's not going to come out and say, yeah, we've got to baby the young quarterback because if we give him too much before he's ready, it's going to overload him and it's going to fry the system and then we got to start from scratch.
What qualifies as too much? I mean, that suggests to me he's talking about deep stuff, and deep stuff is not too much for Will Levis, who proved last year that he could be successful with deep stuff. I mean, I presume, I don't know the context of this, that he's talking about short and safe, and I'm a little surprised that what I perceive is an overemphasis on short and safe, but I think that's more of an offensive philosophy, which has trended in Cincinnati in recent years. Burrow's gotten safer and shorter over the last several years.
Well, it's also like an extension of the run game, right? I mean, I do think it's like, I mean, Callahan's talked about this several times. And at this point, I mean, I have to take it like, I mean, he really
believes
in this and the idea of, look, I mean, if you got something, sure, but let's take the 5, let's take the 6, you know, and let's keep, I mean, the dink and dunk thing, you know, and then take your shots selectively. Listen, that's how he talks.
For longtime fans, they're going to immediately connect with this. There's a famous Jeff Fisher quote, never pass up one to get to another. Now, this was an era where the Titans never made a deep play. Never. Very, very rarely. Never pass up
one. So what era are we talking? So are we talking the great era or after the great era?
Well, the great era didn't include a lot of deep stuff either. But never pass up one to get to another is primitive. And now they were in a more primitive era. Never sure. Pass up one to get to another is a painful thing to hear if the other is open. You can't pass up the short one to get to the other one if the other one happens to be open. On the rare instance that Jeff Fisher's Titans had somebody open deep. Yancey Thigpen was a disaster, right? You can't talk about Yancey Thigpen without everybody laughing or whatever. But Floyd Reese did the right thing in that the Titans needed a good receiver, and he went and signed the best receiver who was available. Didn't work out. Guy got hurt, yada, yada.
Yeah, I mean, he had a good
stretch in the
league.
Just in the McNair special on Netflix, you know, saw Super Bowl highlights again, and Thigpen was on the sideline there celebrating McNair's big play on the final drive. And Thigpen, of course, on the sideline. But Thigpen said, very articulately, you know, we put together these long drives, which are backbreaking, you know, 17-play drive. People hate that. But nothing breaks a team's back like a one-play, 80-yard touchdown drive.
Yeah, right. I mean, obviously, you wear a team out. It's funny because Vrabel almost had as a defensive guy, the I guess it'd be the converse, right? To him, it's like, yes, make them do those drives because at some point, we'll deflect a pass, we'll get a sack, they'll have a holding, right? You don't give up the big play, the chunk play. That's
right.
That's the killer.
Once in a while, you get that chunk play as an offense, and it's deflating to the other team.
Right.
Oh, God, we gave up that big play, and they scored their 7 points on the board in 12 seconds. You know, and you want that from Will Levis. And I think the thing is that Callahan keeps saying, those are going to be there. There's kind of a presumption of them. It's almost like they're working backwards, right? We're working on all the easy underneath stuff, the stuff that seems easy anyway, the mundane, as he called it the other day. And that big stuff, well, we've got a big arm quarterback and we've got a fast guy now and we've got a good stable of receivers. We've got that. Well, that stuff to me seems more complicated. There's more that goes into that, right? You got to have the pass protection, and you've got to have the clear out routes work, and there's a whole bunch of machinations that have to go right to get that play to work. as opposed to the short stuff, which the ball's out of your hand quick. You don't need the protection. The guy doesn't have to get huge separation. The quarterback doesn't have to go through three reads, all of that. Seems easier.
Sure. Quick game. And look, that's the thing. A big question I still have is, okay, is the last couple of years, you had to do that as a Titans quarterback. You largely had to function that way in the passing game. You know, is the protection going to hold up this year so that you can go through everything, so that you can go from one to the other, right? I mean, that's still one of the biggest questions about this team. Sean says that Jared was talking about audibles and decisions at the line with that clip. So
I gave him 20%. He said about 20% he's going to get out of bad plays at the line. That's not babying him. That's helping him. Do we want to get into the dumbest thing that still he said?
Well, okay, we can do that, but let's do that next. Robbie and Rex are 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex are 102.5, 106.3 The Game, broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Tune in to 94.9 The Fan today as the Nashville Sounds take on Jacksonville. Pregame 6:20, first pitch 6:35, with coverage also available on 94.9 The App and at 94.9thefan.com. Sounds Baseball on 94.9 The Fan, presented by Twin Peaks, Family Leisure, Five Points Roofing, and Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning. And we are going to give away our last fantasy football spot today pretty soon. We're also giving a pair of tickets to the Nashville Sounds Home Run Derby August 31st. But right now, PK, you because Stilly chickened out on us, I mean, you know, it's very disappointing. I was looking forward to the conversation with Stilly. We do have TD. We have TD at 8. Do we have positive PK today? Are we getting positive PK?
We talked about having positive PK, but we have not set it up, and you didn't grid it. Oh. I can reach out to him.
Well, positive PK told me that he could do it at a particular time, and you're right, I didn't put it on the grid. So we may have positive PK day. We'll see. We'll find out about that. But you had your dumbest Stilly take.
Well, I don't know the context of this. But,
let's rip him anyway.
Well, look, the tweet is a standalone tweet. So the tweet doesn't have context to it.
Okay.
Here is Stilly's tweet, word for word. David Martin Robinson should, all caps, make the Titans, and it wouldn't shock me if he ends up playing a real role and is better than Chig and Josh Wiley. Now,
that might be a little much, Stilly.
Look, here's a guy who's looked at the stats and watched the preseason and overweighted it substantially. David Martin Robinson is tied for the team lead with 5 receptions and has the team lead with 68 receiving yards. And Stilly sees 68 preseason receiving yards and concludes that this guy, who I agree should and probably will make the roster, is going to be better than Chig and Josh Wiley in an offense that is typically going to have one tight end on the field. They're going to play, 70% 11, 70% 3 wide?
Probably.
70% 3 wide with one tight end on the field. Guess who that tight end is not going to be? David Martin Robinson, barring 2 injuries. Maybe 3 injuries.
Yeah. I like him. First of all, I do like him. It's a nice pickup. He's big. He's athletic. I think he's on the team. I like him. And I could see him having a role. I think the tight end, the more interesting tight end take, I think, is still Wiley Chig. And I think Wiley, if I had to guess right now, probably gets the most snaps of the tight ends this year. Yeah, that's my guess.
And Wiley, and I give credit to Mike Herndon here. He was on this early, and he was on this from outside, not seeing what we were seeing. Speculated that Wiley, because of his size, would be first and second down guy in 3 wide because they're small.
Well, and they have. I mean, he has basically said, Brian Callahan has said, that Chig and Wiley kind of play different positions. Chig more of the detached, which is what he is, right?
I mean, Chig has worked that move guy.
Right, the movable piece, which could also be an H-back in a certain look, and right?
Right.
Whereas Wiley is more traditional inline tight end. Yeah. So
as is Vanette. Now, which is why David Martin Robinson, there's room for him because he Also, because the last six guys are going to be the best six guys, and they're not looking for numbers necessarily, Callahan said. There are minimums, obviously. But David Martin Robinson would be the backup to Chig, that move guy, whereas
Vanette would be the backup to Wiley.
Vanette and Wiley are the inline guys.
Yeah. Look, I like David Martin Robinson. That is a little bit of a stretch by Stilley.
It's a lot of
I don't
of
know
stretch.
If that's
that he's gonna wind up the best tight end on this team this year is crazy.
Yeah. I mean, as crazy Stilley takes go, you know, it's not it's not a Hall of Famer.
Well, it's not insane.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, he can I'm sure he's had something else this week. I know that he said
I was listening the other day.
I think it was yesterday. I was listening yesterday, and he apparently somebody on the station said the Titans have a top five defense, and he thought it was me, so I sent him some bad words on a text. Maybe that's why he didn't come on today. Adam in Portland, you'd like to talk about Titans tight ends. What's up, Adam?
Man, I think our tight end room is hot, hot garbage, like all the way through. If you think the third or fourth tight end is going to save the day, it's a problem. But where I have some saving grace is I felt the exact same way, and most people did, 2 years into Jonnu Smith. And at the end, he was pretty good. And I think we should have, like, we'd already not, you know, extended him and decided he was going to be one of the ones that could hit the market. But he was pretty good at the end. So I've got faith. Like, I don't know what everybody sees in Chig, though. I don't see it the same way they do. Is it because he's kind of athletic and kind of fast? I don't know. But, like, he doesn't catch anything, man. I don't understand how somebody just, especially not a first or second round pick, can get such high praise and love from a team, and a team just not address a position like they do tight end. So I don't understand Chig, but Jonnu kind of gives me hope for him.
Well, Jonnu was a slow learner.
Thanks, Adam. Appreciate the call.
They expected that. I mean, Chig is not a high draft pick. Not every guy's going to be a high draft pick.
Yeah. Well, I think what happened with Chig, right? Chig, for where he was drafted, is achieving pretty well. But I think that some of the plays he made as a rookie, there was a lot of excitement. And then going into last year, there was a lot of hype. And look, Chig, we talk about Treylon Burks in his camp last year before he got hurt at Minnesota. Chig was having a huge camp too. They were hitting some shots to him. They were getting some vertical shots to him in Tim Kelly's new offense. And I was like, oh, he's going to have a big year. And he didn't. So I think he's a fine player. But anybody waiting for him to become a star, you're going to keep waiting. And they didn't. Now, they did address it in the next draft with Wiley. And I think Wiley's going to be a good player. I like Wiley. I think Wiley's a pretty good tight end. They don't have a great player at tight end. They don't have a difference maker at tight end like a lot of teams in the league do. And by the way, you know, the four teams that were the last four standing last year all have great tight ends. You know, how much of a correlation is that? They don't have that guy. That guy's going to probably have to come via high pick at some point. But I think they're functional there. I think hot garbage is a little much.
Yeah, I think hot garbage is a little much, and I don't know that a team that's going to roll out the personnel that they're going to roll out needs a premier. I mean, you'd like to have one, but if the way they're built, they can't be great everywhere.
Sure, but I mean, of course. Like next year right now, although the mock drafts I'm seeing have them taking quarterback, so that's still like the prevailing NFL thought, but – I mean, like next year, me, it's an edge rusher. I mean, if things go roughly as they'll probably go, as I think they'll go, which is a okay team, struggling to be 500, struggling to be in the playoff picture in December, like that's where they absolutely have to. But if there's a great tight end, you know, look, would you like? What if they had Brock Bowers? What if they'd taken Brock Bowers? I mean, in this offense, if you have a guy like that, I don't care what offense it is. If you have an actual difference maker at tight end, I mean, Uzomah was pretty freaking good for these guys a few years ago, right? Yeah,
if they had taken Brock Bowers, we would be talking about a lot about the left tackle.
Well, yes.
It'd be
Petit Frere, and the draft pick would be on the right side, right? I mean, it'd be one or the other.
I think they would have taken a second round left tackle, but he'd be very much under the microscope.
Yes, and probably wouldn't be providing the confidence. Although again, Latham's not perfect, but Latham's gonna be.
It's been very quiet, the criticism of the left tackle, even from your boy Stilley, who was hugely against that pick, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes, Stille was hugely against that pick. I think now he has flip-flopped. He likes to flip-flop. Real quick, you know, you mentioned the McNair documentary. What did you think of it?
I thought it was a compelling hour of television that felt longer than an hour. It should have gone deeper. Like, it only had Fisher, Brad Hopkins, and one reporter as three key people. Should have gone deeper there. Didn't unearth much new. I thought the timeline with her was interesting, and I didn't realize it, that the DUI, the telling her friend her life was crap and she wanted to end it, the buying the gun, and the murder-suicide all happened in the span of 4 days.
Well, you probably knew that at the time.
Yeah.
You just forgot.
I don't know that I realized that all happened so quickly. I thought the Ethan Norfleet thing, where a guy who worshipped McNair and then lost the girlfriend he loved to McNair and then obviously hated McNair for that reason, was very interesting. And this Vincent Hill, while he raises an interesting question about the way the police questioned the gun seller and his relationship with Jenny Kazemi, who is Vincent Hill? And what is his motive in this whole thing? And why is he given such a microphone repeatedly in this thing? I don't believe there was some big conspiracy. I'm with Fisher. Like, maybe it's a little bit fishy, but you got to accept it. And I'm an Occam's razor guy. The most simple explanation is usually the right one.
Well, the podcast that
Tim Rowan did
was much more, obviously.
I didn't think that was great either.
Yeah, but it got around to, like, it's pretty clear that the investigation was correct, even though Vincent Hill has written two books about it.
I think he's written two books about it that didn't sell or move the needle.
Well, yeah, I'm saying I don't think he's right, but I thought the doc was pretty weak. I was not at all impressed with it. All right, when we come back.
It's a nice doc if you want to relive. Like, half of it is reliving the 99 Titans and Steve McNair's career.
Right, but to me it's like if you're only going to do an hour, then I think you pick one. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
All right, when we come back. PK's thoughts, Olympic flag football. I have a take on that. And also, we're going to get someone, the last person, into our fantasy football league. Robbie Rexer, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Hey, folks, tune into the Chase and Big Joe show from 9 to 11 a.m. for your chance to win tickets to see Sammy Hagar, the Red Rocker, at Bridgestone Arena on August 28th. Contest presented by Green Trees. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Show. 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Paul Kaharski in for Robbie, and we're going to give away the final spot in the coveted final spot, the Robbie and Rex Road Fantasy Football League. And PK has actually come up with this trivia question so that he can't be like, oh, I know the answer. I know the answer. Let me say the answer out loud and ruin it for everyone.
Boston guy.
I don't know.
I hate Boston.
I mean, it might be more like a Vermont accent. I'm not sure.
That's a Boston accent.
That's a Boston? Okay.
Yeah, I hate Boston.
I'm wicked smart. I know the answer. I know the answer.
Boston.
So with this being the final spot, Joe, my question to you is, do we want someone to call in, or do we just want to keep it on the text line?
Nah, let's do. Yeah, we did the call-in thing, and people got all mad at you, and I don't want more people mad at you.
I could do it now. It's a lot better this time.
You want to do the call-in?
It's up to you. It's the final spot.
Let's do the call-in.
Okay, we'll do the call-in.
Potential for disaster.
All right, so the first person who calls with the correct answer, PK is such a kind, empathetic human, he's actually given you one of three correct answers. Three players in 1999 tied for the Titans' lead in receiving touchdowns. Name one of those three players. First one with the right answer is the last spot in the Robbie Rexha Fantasy Football League.
Quick.
Go!
Get off Google. Go.
Okay, so Keezer deals with that. That's fine. Don't text. If you're texting, it doesn't work. Brian Summers, our good friend Brian Summers, says that it's kind of crazy. The ninth best receiving percentage by a tight end, one, minimum 70 targets in 2023, can't catch anything. That is Brian Summers. Brian Summers brings those.
You know, guys go through some draw. This is a Chig complaint, I'm guessing.
Well, I think it's a sarcastic, right? Oh. It's a sarcastic, because Stille thinks Chig can't catch. Look, Chig had some bad drops last year. Chig, from time to time, has a drop. You're like, dude, you can't have that drop, right? So more drops than I would like to see. But Brian Summers, new friend Brian Summers, old friend with a new name, Brian Summers.
I think it's too early to say that he's a pure dropper.
Yeah, at times, you know, he does it too much. Derek from Nolensville says, Wiley looked great at the joint practices with the Seahawks. I don't know about great, but he made some plays. I like Wiley.
I think Wiley's up and comer,
a functional player. You know, it's not dire at the tight end position. It's interesting because, like you said, I mean, do you have to have a great tight end? To me, you have. I mean, you need to have someone in any offense. I understand you're an 11, whatever, but in any offense, you have to have someone who is effective in line, who is a factor in the run game and matters in the run game, and then can be decent at least as a pass catcher, can feel holes in the zone defenses in the middle of the field,
can get some
make contested catches, can be a red zone factor. You know, that's again, a lot of the best teams in this league have
difference
makers.
You got to go phones
position.
Because people are Googling.
Okay, do we have a winner, Nick Kieser?
He doesn't know the answer. You're putting him on the air. Go. We said we're doing it on the air.
Oh, we're putting him on the air?
Yeah, go.
Oh, I didn't know that. Yes, okay, I totally misunderstood. Okay, well, who do we have? We have Dennis?
Dennis.
All right, Dennis. You've got. Is this all the right. Dennis? This Dennis who we should be paying for your graphic illustrations?
Yeah.
All right, what have you got?
Oh, 99.
One of three players who led this team in receiving touchdowns.
There's too much Googling.
Give me Dyson.
There you go, Dyson. And I figured Dyson would be – it's a good – Dyson I figured would be
the other two? Who are the other two, Dennis?
Yeah, can you get the other two? If you do, I'll buy you some fried pickles at Twin Peaks.
Mason?
No.
The other two
are tough. Derek Mason had zero touchdown receptions in 1999.
Yes, wow. The other two are tough. Eddie George and Yancey Thigpen were the other two. Well, Dennis, congratulations. So Dennis is back in the league.
Yancey was terrible.
I know. Yeah, PK was just saying how bad he was, and now he led the team. I guess you
missed 10 games.
I guess you missed those touchdowns, huh?
Played 10 games.
On TD? Or TD. PK?
I defended Yancey Thigpen. You missed it. I defended Yancey Thigpen.
All right. Well, Dennis, good job. It's good to have you back in the league. So way to come in through the come through in the clutch at the end. All right,
good job by you, Joe. Totally misinterpreting when we agreed that we were taking phone calls.
I thought it was just Nick taking the phone calls.
I mean, that's where we really missed Robbie.
No, I get it.
Really missed Robbie.
Look, I've said many times, me on microphone one is a bad day. But congrats to Dennis.
Correct.
We have the league set, so it'll be good. It'll be a good league, and hopefully I will do better this year. And
well, how'd you do?
It'll be good.
Last?
I honestly don't remember. I don't think it was last. I was average. I think I made the playoffs, but I didn't really have a threat to win it. Okay, I want to get in this. And yes, this is in part. I wrote a column today at The Athletic about this flag football in the Olympics. I need to get your thoughts on this because Darryl Doucette is the world championship quarterback for the flag football team that right now, if the Olympics took place today, this would be the team that would represent the United States. For those who don't know, 2028 LA, we're going to have flag football, men's and women's flag football. It's 5-on-5. It's different, but it's very similar to 7-on-7. So I think there's some sentiment to why are we letting these millionaire NFL guys come in? And his sentiment is it's a different game. This isn't 11-on-11 tackle football. This is a different game, and I am the best option. He actually told TMZ that he's better than Patrick Mahomes. And he also said to The Guardian that trick plays, what these guys call trick plays is like our every play, right? Stuff like that. My take, PK, is that you put Patrick Mahomes or Jalen Hurts or Joe Burrow, all these guys have expressed interest in playing on the U.S. flag football team. On the same field with Darryl Doucette, whatever format it is, unless it's just unless we're talking about like tennis and it actually is pickleball, like the NFL, the best passers, catchers, and defenders in the world are going to be on the team. They're going to, and they should be on the team. That's how it is. You have a trial. You certainly have Doucette and those guys come, but they're going to get blown off the field. Is there any argument otherwise?
No, it's ridiculous. I mean, the one thing I would raise is, and you've got a good counter to this, is the 3-on-3 basketball. Like, I don't understand why there aren't good NBA guys on the 3-on-3 basketball, but at least the 3-on-3 basketball is additional basketball.
It's a secondary tournament. This is the only football.
Yeah. So to me, it's a matter of NFL contracts. You know, are there going to be preventative measures? Is the league going to be against it, worrying about injuries, et cetera? And if a guy plays in it and, God forbid, tears an ACL, you know, gold medal be damned if somebody loses a premier player.
Oh, well, we've seen the NHL GM say, no, enough of this, right? And they did not participate.
And what are the dates? I mean, it's pre-camp, I presume. It was pre-camp this year. I would imagine it lines up roughly with the Paris dates and won't interfere. It would be during the dead period.
They need to be earlier.
So we don't know exactly what the system is for choosing the team and everything, but you want the best guys.
Yeah. So the dates are July 14th to the 30th, so it leads right into camp, basically. So it works out well. But no, there are absolutely – I mean, if you're Clark Hunt, you're going to tell me that Patrick's going to go running around out there and plant weird, playing flag football 2 weeks before camp? Are you kidding me? And now he's 12 years in the league? Or what? Absolutely. This is not going to be simple. Like
Plenty of NFL guys, the vast majority of NFL guys who watch the Olympics – particularly track and field and stuff like that, and are all in and are going to see a chance to go medal, could go gold medal, and not just want that for the love of it, want that for the marketing element of it, want it for everything, and are going to be very compelled to get involved.
Yeah. No, I mean, it's
this guy's making a fool of himself.
Well, look, I get his – he is right.
He's defending his turf.
The one thing he said is, like, these guys are just going to come in. We've been doing this for years, and I get it. And you know what? Good for you. I mean, he didn't play college football. I'm sure he's a fine flag football quarterback. Yeah. But, Lance, sorry, if these sports are open – again, it's still the game of football. I talked to D-Mace yesterday for my column, and you mentioned 3-on-3. I mean, he had a great point. He's like, so if like a championship team at the Y in 3-on-3, so you're saying if the NBA guys came in because they play a different format that it wouldn't work, they'd kill them. I mean, it's the same thing.
And look, here's what would be nice to happen for this guy and his teammates if the NFL guys came in and said, hey, we appreciate what this guy and his team did in building flag football. And we're thrilled to now take the torch. And we understand.
I guess it'd be cool to have him on the team.
Their game. No, I don't have him on the team. But, so acknowledge.
Yeah.
This is their game.
Thanks, Daryl.
And now, but it's based on our game. And we're coming in to
dominate it.
Because we're the best.
Yep. All right, when we come back, the Rex rant, it has something to do with right here on the see this right here. Fridays for nights. Thank you. Robbie and Rex are 102.5, 106.3 The Game.
Sometimes he wakes up on the wrong side of the bed. And sometimes he's just, Joe.
Awkward moment. Let's do it.
This is the Rex Rant, now on Robbie and Rex Road.
What's up? This is Scott Stapp from Creed, and you're listening to Robbie and Rex Road on 102.5. The Game.
Okay. Did I say Rocks Road right?
Rex Road.
Rex Road. Okay, let me do that again.
No worries.
What's up? This is Scott Stapp from Creed, and you're listening to Robbie and Rex Road on 102.5 The Game.
There it is. I love Haley's. No worries. I love that. That's my favorite part of the whole thing. That was Scott Stapp, for those who don't know. Lead singer of one of the finest bands of all time, Creed. Botching my name. But we are not going to talk about Creed today. We're going to talk about high school football. It really gets going tonight. And look,
is this week zero or week one?
This is week one.
Week zero
of college football.
Ever.
This is week one. And all across the mid-state, all across the state, very exciting stuff. And look, I'm a parent. I'm a football parent. And so I'm excited, but I'm also nervous. I think that goes with the territory. And I want to speak to some of the key players involved in this as we get this going.
Here we go.
Thank you.
Will Jr. eat? That's my big question. Thank you.
This is a, what's that?
Will Jr. eat? That's my big question.
What the heck does that mean?
He didn't eat before the
No, good point. Yeah, no, I think, Brennan, my little linebacker at Nolensville High, had a little stomach issue. He didn't eat before the last scrimmage. I think there will be a pregame meal today before they go to Rockville. But let me talk to some people involved. First of all, coaches, thank you for your time and effort. Please lead these kids with a big picture in mind.
This is quite a rant.
You just shut your mouth. And apologies for so many of these parents. The ones you don't hear from probably appreciate you, so keep that in mind. Officials, thank you for your time and effort, despite limited rewards. And apologies for all the screaming you will be getting this season from parents and coaches, and hopefully not players. Players, when you make a play, celebrate with your teammates. Repeat, celebrate with your teammates. There's this instinct we have to want to taunt people in sports today. I get it. There's trash talk out there. I understand that it's competitive and it's a violent game. When we're talking about football, it is a different thing than these other sports in that way as well. But as I was working the chain gang for a scrimmage this year between Ravenwood and Nolensville, I was on the Ravenwood side. Ravenwood made a big play. You know, it got a little bit in your face. Ravenwood coach Will Hester said the exact right word. He said, root for us. Root for us. And that is exactly the right thing to say. Root for your, you know, find your teammate. Celebrate with your teammate. And if your teammate makes a mistake, don't yell at your teammate. You know, give some words of encouragement. Show some leadership. Parents. First of all, parents, your kid is not as good as you think he is. Let me repeat that. Your kid is not as good as you think he is. I'm speaking to me. I'm speaking to you. I'm speaking to all parents, okay? Support him, or we can take this to any sport. Support him or her, but we're talking about football. Root for your kid. Provide whatever support you can. Let the coaches coach. And when you want to open your mouth and complain about playing time or anything else going on with adults who are in charge of your kid and making decisions you don't actually have a clue about, don't. You pay your freaking athletic fees, you buy a hot dog, and you shove it in your mouth if you can't shut up on your own. Other than that, let's all get excited for high school football.
You done?
I'm done.
All right, I'll do a rant since Joe just did a love letter. Here's a rant. John Sterling.
That was a love letter.
John Sterling retired at the age of 86 from the Yankees radio booth.
Oh, God, who cares?
Now they brought him back for like a couple innings, and now they're saying they're going to hire him for the playoffs. Look, dude, you're done. You sucked anyway. Now you're done. You're an old man. Don't come back and take playoff games away from people who've done the job all year. Go back to your couch. You're an old retired man. You weren't good at the job as it was. It's terrible to come back and take games away from a guy. Stay retired. This at least is a rant where I'm expressing some degree of
upsetting. It's an idiotic rant no one cares about. I'm talking about high school football. No one cares about your freaking Yankees announcer.
Is a degree of anger. You just instructed everyone on how to behave at a high school football game. There was nothing ranty about it.
Okay. I understand that you scream like a whiny bitch all the time, but it doesn't have to always be that way for a rant.
Yeah, a rant is some
form of
anger.
It's 5 days a week. No.
Yeah.
No.
A rant is upset with something.
Okay. All right, Paul. Sometimes our rants are all kinds of different things. My God. Seriously. Please shut up. You all of a sudden take it to Yankees announcer? No one gives a crap.
That
no
was
one.
Terrible.
I'm going to rant about you and your
I'm
stupid rant.
I'm ranting about a guy who refuses to retire.
Oh, God. Hey, last year, I went back and listened. So Joe had a similar rant to this on August 25th.
Yeah, it'll be every week. Every year, and I'll say it exactly the same way, and you'll shut up and listen.
And
I won't listen. I'll turn
on top of it.
Good. You were
you were pissed at Brennan. So actually, I think last year's rant was better because you were completely irate about how Brennan was playing music in the morning before he was leaving for school because you were doing the show from home.
See,
Do you remember that?
Well, no, because last year when I talked about this, that may be something different. I did have this basically same topic. We were at Duncan. We had a remote.
No, this was
This dude, I remember it very clear as day.
Well, the
let me get mad at both of you.
The Ray, other high school football
definition,
one. Yeah.
Speak or shout at length in
Paul.
A wild, impassioned
hey,
way.
Paul.
You're a word guy.
Shut up.
You
dude.
Like the meaning of
no,
words.
No, no, no. You need to shut up. I'm going to rant at you. We have a Rex rant every day. Okay, it's a Rex rant every day, or a Robbie rant. It's every day. That was suggested to us by
consultant.
I don't scream every day about something I'm not going to. You want to make me mad, I'll scream at you.
Rant. Speak or shout at length in a wild, impassioned
Congratulations.
Way.
Congratulations. So I'm so proud of you for being able to
segment.
Read. I'm so proud of you to be able to read.
That's a misnamed segment.
Yeah, okay. We're talking about high school football, which could have been a good conversation. You started talking about a Yankees announcer.
I mean, I spoke or shouted at length in a wild, impassioned way.
You did make
about
loud noises.
I was impassioned
you did make
about.
Loud noises. No, you did. You can make loud noises like very few can. So
I understand. I understand what a rant means, and you because you do it every day. Apparently, you're allowed to not understand.
Yeah,
what
I mean,
rant means.
I had words there that were strong words. So it's
strong
fine.
Words.
Okay, that's fine. No one. Again, no one can whine like a bitch like you can. So I understand that. Okay, like no one can match you. No one can match you in that way. There is no doubt about that. All right, we come back. We will have Teron Davenport, TD,
he's on the chain gang,
Robbie and Rex on 102.5, 106 of the game.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane. Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.